Jalas Lakaya Chakshusumritam Vena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapita. We've been hearing the answers to the questions asked by Narada Muni to his father, Lord Brahma. What we've heard, the questions were basically having to do with the material universe, because Narada has seen Brahma's powers to the degree that he is thinking that Brahma, who has virtually created the material world, he is thinking that probably it is Brahma who is the supreme. But he's asking Brahma, are you in fact the one who is maintaining, creating, controlling everything? Narada said that I have a doubt, because I have seen you performing austerities. Therefore, you're performing austerities to please someone else, to get some power. Who is awarding that power to you? If you are creating, if it is necessary for you to do the creating to get power from somewhere else, where is that somewhere else? That is the doubt that is in Narada's mind. So Brahma very clearly and quickly removes that doubt. Brahma removes the doubt of Narada by saying, no, it is not me, it is the Lord, it is Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, and I and everyone else am simply connected to him. And whatever opulence or power, whatever you see in this world, practically speaking, is resting on his energies. Myself, the other demigods, everyone is just borrowing gifted power from him, the Lord. So we offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Factually speaking, it's important that we all understand this, that we see people in this world, we think they're wonderful. We think how beautiful, how powerful, how intelligent, how influential, but actually no one in this world is influential or powerful or beautiful or knowledgeable or strong independent of Krishna. Everyone's ability, all the good qualities, anything, any exceedingly wonderful opulence that someone displays in this world is a gift of Krishna. And it just indicates a portion, a small and significant portion of Krishna's opulence. So how wonderful, how powerful, how opulent is Krishna himself? So Brahma doesn't at this point explain this. There'll be some in the ninth chapter. And actually later on in this chapter, Brahma will say some things about Krishna. Not directly yet, but somewhat indirectly. He'll say how wonderful he is and describe his wondrous nature. So after describing that the actual potent person, the Shaktiman, the possessor of the power, is not Brahma, is not anyone else, it is the Ishwara Parama Krishna, Krishna the Supreme Controller, then Brahma begins to describe in answer to Narada's questions about the creation, who is it really resting on? Who is doing the creation? Who is doing the maintenance? Who is doing the destruction of this world? So he begins to explain the creation of the world and the position of Karna Dakshai Vishnu, how Vishnu glances at the material energy into the Mahatattva, and as a result of that glance, the living entities and time are impregnated within the material energy, because time itself, this all-powerful, practically speaking, devastating force in the material world that crushes everything and causes things to blossom, That is an energy of Lord Paramatma, of the Krishna, of Krishna, of the Super Soul. So all these things, when injected by the Lord in the material universe, the creation begins, and yet after the demigods are created, in some form of the demigods are created, they cannot make the creation proceed, even though all the ingredients are there, it cannot proceed properly until Krishna enters into the universe and expands himself in this Visharup, or Viratarup, or the universal form. So when one sees this universal form or gets a glimpse of how the Supreme has spread himself throughout the universe, that is a way to understand the Lord. Because some people, when they look at the universe, this world, they don't see God at all. Some people just see matter. They see protons and electrons or quarks or subatomic particles or whatever quantum physicists see. They don't see anything. They see some kind of laws working or not working. And some people just see that, just matter. Some people don't see anything practically. They just see the things produced of matter. Other people, when they see the universe, they see how everything is God and related to God. And other people see Krishna. Yam shama sundaram achinti gunam sarupam. So what is it, first of all? What is this universe? The tape. The universe is the tape. Huh? Now. God willing. We'll find out soon. We tried anyway. You read the purport, Prabhupada.
The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, maintains his material universe by extending his luminary extensions. So this Purusha form is a confirmation of the same principle. The original personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, or Lord Krishna, who is famous as the son of King Vasudeva, or King Nanda, is filled with all opulences, all potency, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Part of his opulences is manifested as impersonal Brahman, and part of his opulences is manifested as Paramatma. This Purusha feature of the same personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the original Paramatma manifestation of the Lord. There are three Purusha features of material creation. In this form, it is known as the Charyavoga Vishnu. The others are known as the Puta Vishnu, the skills of Vishnu, which is the love for after that. The innumerable universes are generated from the skin wars,
विष्णु महान सयजस्वलाशेषो गोविंदवादी पुरुषं तमोमय महाविष्णु फ्रॉम द स्किन होल ऑफ महाविष्णु द स्मॉल पार्टिकल्स ऑफ यूनिवर्स आर कमिंग into being. Everything, the nature's way, becomes a very small particle, then it grows. Anything is a, just like our body, the small particle, the soul, which is measured as 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair, when it is placed in the womb of the woman by the man, then the body grows. That is the seed. All Vija Padam Pita, Krishna said, that I am the seed-giving father. That just like here, he practically see the male semina is injected within the womb of the female. And because the living entity, very small, 1/10,000 part of the people is there, because the living entity is there, the body grows. Unless the living entity is there, there will be no pregnancy. As soon as the living entity is there, the body grows, and that is known as pregnancy. Daily it grows, the mother can understand it is growing. Similarly, without the spirit soul entering into the matter, there is no possibility of seed. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is said, Vishtabhya aham ekarmasena atma bahunantena kingyatina sabhajana Vishtabhya aham ekarmasena sthitoya. Because I have entered into this universe by my plenary portion, therefore it is existing. It is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So, without spiritual task, there is no question of matter working or expanding or growing. There is not possible. So, in the seed of any tree, because there is a living entity, therefore it goes into a big tree. Every tree, there is a living entity in a different form. So, here also in the creation, without the supreme living entity entering within the Mahatattva, there is no possibility of peace.
So it is the Supreme Lord that is the source or the cause of the universe or the universal form. Just as the soul is placed within matter, within the womb of the mother, and therefore the baby's body grows and expands. So similarly, when Krishna, the Supreme Soul, the Parama Atma, the soul of the universe, enters the universe, then the universal body, the material body of the universe, the Virata Rupa, it grows and expands. So it is Krishna who is behind it, and it is Krishna's energy that is expanded throughout the universe. So it's interesting how Brahma is explaining this to Narada, that there is this universal form, but behind the universal form there is a person, the Purusha, and that is Govardhakshay Vishnu. That is Krishna, that is the Vishnu form. So Brahma explained this to Narada, and later on we'll hear in the sixth canto that Narada recites one prayer to Chitraketu Maharaj. And in this prayer, because he's teaching Chitraketu how to offer prayers to the Lord, Lord Shankarshan actually. And by virtue of these prayers, Chitraketu was able to have direct vision of Lord Shankarshan within a very short time. So this is one of the prayers that he told them, that Narada told Chitraketu Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahanubhavaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Shakala Satvata Parivridha Nikarakara Kamala Kudmalo Palalita Charanana Vinda Yugala Parama Parameshtin Namaste. O transcendental Lord, who are situated in the topmost planet of the spiritual world, your two lotus feet are always massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bud hands. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in six opulences. You are the Supreme Person mentioned in the Purusha Shukta prayers. You are the most perfect self-realized master of all mystic powers. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So Narada heard this from Brahma, that it is the Lord himself who the demigods glorify when they're glorifying the universal form, they're glorifying the person, the soul of the universe, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is ultimately Karanadakshaya Vishnu, who is ultimately Lord Shankarshan. So he is the supreme person mentioned in the Purusha Shukta prayer. So that's in the sixth canto, the 16th chapter of the Bhagavatam. So after explaining how it is the Lord and everyone who in this world has energies, everything is coming from the Lord, and there's nothing at all that is separate from the Lord, we can just get a glimpse. If everything is connected to the Lord and He's the one that the entire universe is resting upon, and it's all His energy, how powerful He is. When we conceive of who's powerful in this world, we think of what they call Mr. Universe. Actually, Mr. Universe is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. But when we think of some puny Mr. Universe who's going like this, I mean, what can he do? What can he do? He can take a piece of metal and bend it, or he can lift 500 pounds. But actually, the real Mr. Universe, how powerful is he? So what really is powerful? What does powerful mean? We get a glimpse. We try to understand what God really means. What does it mean to be God? And then we understand why we should fold our hands and pay our obeisances and worship Him. Unless we understand what God means, there's no reason to worship. So therefore, Brahma says in text 33, which we read last time, that this summed up what Brahma wanted to tell Narada about the Lord, that whatever there is as cause or effect in the material or spiritual world is dependent upon Him. He is the absolute truth. He is the independent person. Everything that exists is dependent upon Him, and He is independent. He is the only one who is independent. Therefore, in text 34 through 38, we hear what the actual process of knowing this person who is so powerful and who has covered by the curtain of Maya. How do we know Him? How do we actually understand who He is? What is His nature? What is His power? Because again, the materialists look and they just see matter. And the impersonalists look and they see undifferentiated oneness. And the Buddhists look and they see nothing. And the devotees look and they see Krishna. What is the process of knowing Him to the fullest extent? So in text 34, Jiva Goswami comments, I'll tell you that after I read the verse. O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, with great zeal. What does it mean to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord with great zeal? What is great zeal? Is that one of the animals in the zoo, a great zeal? It's quite graphic. If you would add something to do with affection in there, it might be more. With great enthusiasm. Because, Narada says, because I have done this, whatever I say has never proven to been, have proved, never proved to have been false, nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred. Nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. Here is some of Prabhupada's purport. The devotee's senses, being engaged in the service of the Lord, never go astray under the attraction of false material enjoyment. The plans of the devotee never go in vain. And all this is due to the faithful attachment of the devotee for the service of the Lord. This is the standard of perfection and liberation. Anyone, beginning from Brahmaji down to human beings, is at once put on the path of liberation simply by his attachment in great earnestness for the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord. The Lord affirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vivacharena bhakti yogena sevate saganan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Anyone, therefore, who is earnestly serious in heart and soul about being in intimate touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the relationship of transcendental loving service will always be infallible in words and actions. So that is what a devotee is. One who has that type of earnestness. What's another word for earnestness? Sincerity. When we think about the qualifications to be an advanced devotee, it really comes down to that. Earnestness. Sincerity. So one who has that kind of sincerity will be infallible in words and actions. The reason is that the Supreme Lord is absolute truth. And anything earnestly dovetailed with the absolute truth attains the same transcendental quality. On the other hand, any amount of mental speculation on the strength of material science and knowledge without any bona fide touch with the absolute truth is sure to be a mundane untruth and failure. Simply due to not being touched with the absolute truth. Such godless, unfaithful words and actions, however materially enriched, are never to be trusted. That is the purport of this important verse. A grain of devotion is more valuable than tons of faithlessness. Now that would make quite a t-shirt, wouldn't it? Verse 34. Jiva Goswami said, the Supreme Lord manifests himself to one possessing unflinching devotion. Yes, this is how to see Krishna. This is how to see Krishna in the material world, and this is how to go to the spiritual world. Now, since Srila Swami says that text 35 and 36, they are together and they describe Brahma's own condition, his position. We'll read those two together. Brahma says, although I am known as the great Brahma, Brahma actually means the great, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities, and I'm an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand Him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. Therefore, so how to know Brahma, the greatest, who is so perfectly intelligent, his intelligence is so far beyond us, ours. He says, I cannot understand. How does he understand? What he does understand, how does he understand it? That is what we must follow. And here's what he says. Therefore, considering, that I cannot understand him, even though everyone thinks I am so intelligent. Therefore, it is best for me to surrender unto his feet, which alone can deliver one from the miseries of repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of its own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord Himself is unable to estimate His own limits? Now, Jiva Goswami says, comment to 35, the Lord does not manifest to anyone, regardless of his qualifications, unless that person possesses devotion. We're going to read some purport here on 35. But we can get the idea. What we're going to hear again and again is that bhakti, sincere, unalloyed, pointed bhakti, is the only way to understand Krishna. It is the only qualification, and there is no other qualification that is useful. There's no academic, physical, emotional, intellectual, material qualification. Because nothing can... He is so powerful. Krishna is so powerful that unless Krishna deems it his desire to reveal himself, no one can really get a glimpse of what he is, of who he is, of how he does things. And it is bhakti, devotion to Krishna, that makes Krishna inclined to reveal himself. Otherwise, he is samoham sabhabhuteshu. He doesn't do anything special for anyone. And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, that Brahma, he heard the Vedas directly from Krishna. Krishna filled him with the Vedas directly. So he is the ultimate Vedantist. And Prabhupada will criticize later on the Vedantists who say that the Lord is impersonal, when Brahma, the ultimate Vedantist, says that the Lord is personal. So we should follow Brahma. So Prabhupada explains in his purport. Brahma, the greatest of all living creatures within the universe, is admitting his failure to know the Supreme Lord, despite his vast learning in the Vedic wisdom, despite his austerity, penance, mystic powers, and self-realization, and despite being worshipped by the great Prajapatis, the forefathers of the living entities. So these qualifications are not sufficient to know the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji could understand the Lord to a little extent only when he was trying to serve him by the eagerness of his heart, Riddhaukantyavata, which is the devotional service mood. Therefore, the Lord can be known only by the sincere mood of eagerness for service, and not by any amount of material qualification as a scientist or speculative philosopher, or by attainment of mystic powers. This fact is clearly corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatman Asochati Nakanchati Samasave Shubhute Sudmad Bhaktim Labhate Param Bhaktyamam Navijananti Yavan Yaschasmi Tatvata Bhaktyamam Abhijananti Yavan Yaschasmi Tatvata Tatomam Tatvato Gyatva Vishate Taranantanam. Only by self-realization, by attainment of the above high qualification of Vedic wisdom, austerity, can help one on the path of devotional service. But failing, so in other words, those things can maybe bring us to the path of devotional service, but failing in devotional service, one remains still imperfect, because even in that position of self-realization, one cannot factually know the Supreme Lord. By self-realization, if one becomes self-realized, understands that he's a soul, which is the result of austerities, penance, Vedic wisdom. By realizing one's a soul, then one can begin devotional service. So by self-realization, one is qualified to become a devotee, and the devotee, by the serving mood, bhaktya only, can gradually know the personality of Godhead. Then later on Prabhupada says, the so-called Vedantist, therefore, cannot enter into the existence of the Lord without being trained in the matter of bhakti Vedanta, or Vedanta plus bhakti. Vedanta means self-realization. And bhakti means realization of the personality of Godhead to some extent. No one can know the personality of Godhead in full, but at least to a certain extent one can know the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. How? By self-surrender and a devotional attitude, and by nothing else. In the Brahma Samhita also, it is said, Vedeshu Dulavam. Well, simply by study of Vedanta, one can hardly find out the existence of the personality of Godhead. But the Lord is Adulavam Atma Bhakta, very easily available to his devotee. Srila Vyasadeva, therefore, was not satisfied simply with compiling the Vedanta Sutras, but over and above this, by the advice of his spiritual master Narada, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to understand the real import of Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the absolute medium by which to understand the absolute truth. Now, I'd like to read Prabhupada's purport to 36, where he says, How can anyone know the Lord? I suggest offer my obeisances to the Lord. How can anyone know him when the Lord himself doesn't even know himself? He can't understand the limit of himself. This is a very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please listen carefully. Lord Brahma, the greatest of all learned living beings, the greatest sacrificer, the greatest observer of austere life, and the greatest self-realized mystic, advises us, as the supreme spiritual master of all living beings, that one should simply surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord in order to achieve all success, even up to the limit of being liberated from the miseries of material life and being endowed with all auspicious spiritual existence. Lord Brahma is known as the Pitamaha. What does Pitamaha mean? Or the father's father. A young man consults his experienced father about discharging his duties. So the father is naturally a good advisor. But Lord Brahma is the father of all fathers. He is the father of Manu, who is the father of mankind, of all the universal planets. Therefore, the men of this insignificant planet should kindly accept the instructions of Brahmaji, and would do well to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, rather than to try to estimate the length and the breadth of the Lord's potencies. His potencies are immeasurable, as confirmed in the Vedas, Prasya Shaktiya Vivadaiva Shuyate Swabhavika Jnana Balakriya Cha. He is the greatest of all, and all others, even the greatest of all living beings, namely Brahmaji, admits that the best thing for us is to surrender to him. So in the last verse, Prabhupada criticized the impersonalists. And in this verse he's criticizing the scientists. Why? Because Krishna is so great, but he can only be known, even to some extent, by devotion. But his power and potency and greatness is so distant from our material capacity that when a spiritualist who has no devotion looks at this, at the universe, all he can understand is the impersonality of it. And the scientist, with his intelligence, he tries to understand something, but he can't get a glimpse. As the impersonalist can't get a glimpse, the scientist can't get a glimpse of the fact that there's a person behind this entire creation. And this person is everything within the material world, but yet he is completely separate and existing in the spiritual world, existing in Goloka Vrindavan. And as a cowherd boy, how could a scientist ever speculate his way to that point? To understand Vrindavan, only if Krishna says, I am like this, can one understand? So the only way to actually understand the Absolute Truth is through devotion, because that makes Krishna inclined to reveal himself to the devotee. So therefore, Brahmaji admits the best thing for us is to surrender unto him. Therefore, only those persons with a very poor fund of knowledge claim that they themselves are the lords of all that they survey. And what can they survey? They cannot survey even the length and breadth of a small sky in one universe. The so-called material scientist says that he would need to live 40,000 years to reach the highest planet of the universe, being carried by a Sputnik. This is also utopian, because no one can expect to live 40,000 years. Beside, when the space pilot returned from his travel, none of his friends will be present to receive him back as the greatest astronaut, as has become fashionable for modern bewildered scientific men. One scientific man, who had no belief in God, was very much enthusiastic in making plans for his material existence, and therefore he opened up a hospital to save the living. But after opening the hospital, he himself died within 6 months. So one should not spoil his human life, which is obtained after many, many changes of bodies and 8,400,000 species of life. One should not do this simply for the concocted material happiness of life through increasing artificial needs in the name of advancement of economic development and scientific knowledge. Rather, one should simply surrender unto the feet of the Lord to make a solution to all miseries of life. That is the instruction of Lord Krishna directly in the Bhagavad Gita, and that is the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam by Brahmaji, the Supreme Father of all living beings. Anyone denying this surrendering process is recommended both in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and for that matter, in all authorized scriptures, will be forced to surrender unto the laws of material nature. The living entity, by his constitutional position, is not independent. He must surrender either unto the Lord or unto material nature. Material nature is also not independent of the Lord, since the Lord himself has claimed material nature as mama maya, my energy, and as me bina prakriti mastida, my separated energy in 8 divisions. Therefore, material nature is also controlled by the Lord, as he has claimed in the Bhagavad Gita, maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharan, under my directions, only is material nature working, and thus all things are moving. And the living entities, being superior energy to matter, have choice and discrimination either to surrender unto the Lord or to surrender unto material nature. And one of the first questions I ever asked Prabhupada was this question. I asked him, if Krishna is the controller of material nature, I thought I was very clever, what's the difference if we surrender just to the material nature or surrender to Krishna? Because Krishna is the control of the material nature, so ultimately we're surrendering to Krishna. Either way, so I want to surrender to the material nature, what's the difference? Good question, huh? And Prabhupada answered basically just what he said here. By surrendering unto the Lord, one is happy and liberated. And by surrendering unto material nature, the living entity suffers. If we surrender directly to Krishna and engage in serving him and meet him to the extent that we can serve him with devotion, we become so happy. But if we surrender to him indirectly through his material nature, we suffer. It forces us to be attached to the material body and all the accompanying sufferings. So the end of all suffering means surrendering unto the Lord, because surrendering process is called, it itself is bhavachidam and sumangalam. Therefore, liberty, happiness and all good fortune can be attained only by the surrendering unto the Lord, because He is full liberty, full happiness, and full auspiciousness. So, there's so much more in the purport. We should read these books, they're so nice. They're so nice, they're so powerful. So many wonderful, pertinent instructions that give us strength, that give us direction, increase our faith, they're associating with Krishna, they purify us. So Brahma continues. Since neither Lord Shiva nor you, Narada, nor I could ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, how can other demigods know it? And because all of us are bewildered by the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord, we can only see this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. So Jiva Goswami comments that Brahma herein describes his own limitations, and that no one by his own potency can know the Lord. Everyone has a certain amount of intelligence and a certain amount of ability. So the topmost intelligent person, Brahma, with the most ability, admits his own inability to see the Lord. So what to speak of us inconceivably more insignificant creatures? So the conclusion, Brahma says in text 38, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted by us for glorification, though he can hardly be fully known as he is. Prabhupada explains, no one can know the Lord by any puffed up material process of challenge, but the humble devotee can please the Lord by his earnest devotional activities. And it doesn't make a difference what those activities are, as long as they are earnest, sincerely meant to please Him with devotion. Thus the Lord reveals Himself proportionately before the devotee. Lord Brahma therefore offers His respectful obeisances as a bona fide spiritual master and advises us to follow the process of shravana and kirtana, hearing and chanting. Simply by this process, or simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the activities of the Lord's incarnations, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot know the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully by any method, but the Lord can be seen and felt partially by the devotional service process of hearing and chanting, etc. So Brahma has just explained, after explaining the whole creation of this whole universe, he's explained that it is the Lord, the person who is behind it. And that person is so powerful, unlimitedly powerful. He's given us a glimpse, by explaining the universe, he's given us a glimpse of how powerful he is, because he wants us to be able to know him. But it is only when we understand His great unfathomable power do we understand why our own power can never reach Him, and therefore that the only way of understanding Him and knowing Him even to some degree is by His mercy, which is elicited by devotional service. So that is the conclusion that Brahma is coming to, that we should offer obeisances and hear and chant about Him. And that way we can know something about Him. Now, Brahma will now explain to Narada, and we are also able to hear by the mercy of the great Acharyas and our Srila Prabhupada. In the next verses, Brahma is going to begin to describe the two ways that we come in contact directly with the personality of Godhead. The first way is what he's going to describe it basically in the remainder of this, in this chapter, is the understanding of the Lord as the creator. The creator of what? The creator of the material world. We've already heard something about the process of creation. We're going to hear a little more about it right now. That person, Karana Dakshay Vishnu and Baba Dakshay Vishnu and Kiri Dakshay Vishnu, the Purusha avatars, who actually deal, not deal in one sense, but another sense, their purpose is the creation of the material world. So that's the first way that there's direct knowledge of the Lord in his dealings with the material world. And the second way, which will be the next chapter that we will hear, chapter 7 of the Bhagavad Gita, which we will begin tomorrow, is the Lord, not when he creates the material world, but when he himself descends to the material world to perform specific pastimes. So one way is through the creation of the material world, and the second way is his lila avatar, or pastime incarnations, when he comes down in a spiritual form to exhibit specific activities for specific purposes that attract us to him. So first, in 39 through 41, we'll hear about the Lord's deeds as Karana Dakshay Vishnu, the first of the Purusha avatars, who we've already heard about him, how he's so powerful, he glances at the material nature and impregnates the living entities within the Mahatattva. So we'll hear some. Text 39-41. The Supreme Original Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Remember, this is what Narada was asking about. Who is the Lord, and how does the Lord, who is the one who deals with the material world? So now Rama is describing. That Supreme Original Personality of Godhead, Adya Purusha, that's Lord Sri Krishna, expanding his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, the first incarnation, creates this manifested cosmos. But he himself is unborn. The creation, however, takes place in him. It takes place in him. He creates something, and that something that he creates, when you create something, it's external to you, we're thinking, but that external to him is also within him. Because there is nothing external to the Lord. Otherwise, there is no meaning to the concept of God. There can be nothing external to him. Otherwise, he is not the Supreme. So the creation, however, takes place in him, and the material substance and manifestations are all himself. He maintains them for some time and absorbs them into himself again. The personality of Godhead is pure. Being freed from all contaminations of material tinges, this is the inconceivable potency that he has. How could anyone understand this? That he's all the matter that exists is resting upon him. It is not different from him, but yet he has nothing to do with matter whatsoever. He is bade abade, the same and not different from everything. And achintya means inconceivable. So this is the achintya shakti of the Lord, the inconceivable potency of the Lord. He is everything, but he is separate completely. So he is free from all contaminations of material tinges. He is the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all-pervading, without beginning or end. He is all-pervading. He's everywhere. There is no beginning to him. There is no end to him. Yet, he has a form. How could something that has no beginning or an end have a form? It is impossible. Rather, it is inconceivable, because Krishna can do the impossible very easily. But it is inconceivable for us to understand this, because no one can know Him completely. Even Lord Brahma can't understand Him. He is all-pervading, without beginning or end, and without any rival, O Narada. O great sage, the great thinkers can know Him. How? When completely freed from all material hankerings, and when sheltered under undisturbed conditions of the senses. Otherwise, by untenable arguments, all is distorted and the Lord disappears from our sight. So Prabhupada spends so much time criticizing impersonalism, because if one is not pure and if one is not fixed in devotion, the Lord will disappear from our sight and one's vision of reality, because the Lord is the reality, one's vision will become distorted and one will not see things accurately. But one will see them, but it won't be accurate, it will be distorted. So the impersonalist, when we hear the power of the Lord, and then we hear what the impersonalists say, that we are all God, but we have forgotten that illusion has covered us. But we're all God? God has forgotten that He's God? Illusion has overpowered Him? Forgetfulness? It doesn't make very much sense. It means that people don't understand what God is, actually speaking. But that's the conclusion they reach through speculation, through their own powers trying to understand. Now we'll hear Prabhupada just a little bit say something about potency in the creation that Mahavishnu does, that Karanadakshaya Vishnu does.
So Ado, in the beginning, the Lopa Sisikshaya for creating the Vatmanadi. Yagdehe Paurusham Rupa. Persons, the creation is coming from the persons and not from in person. The modern scientists, their theory of pure sense, there are something matter, chant or something like that. But here, we find it quite reasonable, because everything is from the persons. Jagrihe Paurusham Rupa, form. It is not from in persons. Jagrihe Paurusham Rupa. So, we don't theorize, we accept the statement of the Vedas, that is our process of knowledge, descending process. We take knowledge from the authorities. Of course, the scientists also say, they take from authorities, but originally, as explained by God, and in Prabhupada, it does not appear that the knowledge was taken from austerity. It's theory. Theory, one can put theory of his own, and there are so many theories. But we don't accept theories. We want solid facts. The solid fact is, the Lord created. In the Bible also it is said, the God saved, made their creations. It is from the person. Here also, we find the creation begins from the person. The Vedas, it is said, saw tatra sa asijata vaitasa by the glance. He looked over, God looked over, and he created. The reference is to the past. We also find from our experience that whenever there is something manufacturing or creation, we do not find automatically some matter comes into being. We have such experience. Whenever there is anything manufactured or created, there is a person behind it. So this is not a very good theory that from the chunk or some matter exploded and immediately the universe came into existence. And that's not a very good theory. But this is nice. Jagdi he paurusam yuj. This paurusam, the Mahavishnu, Varbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Hirodakshaya Vishnu, they are expansion of Krishna. Advaita Achyuti Anadi Ananda Rupam. He incarnates, he expands himself in various incarnations. Now, for the creation, these three persons, all persons, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu person, Hirodakshaya Vishnu person, and Karunanamasaya Vishnu person. And Karunana is a Vishnu, Mahavishnu, he is also expansion of Sankarsana. And Sankarsana is expansion of Baladeva. So Baladeva is expansion of Krishna. And therefore, Krishna becomes the origin. Ishara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vidra Panadi. He has no beginning, but he is beginning. Panadi Adi. He has no beginning, but he is the beginning of this. Panadi Adi Govinda Sarvatarnata. So Mahatattva, the total material energy, and five elements, 16 Surushakala. What are those? The five elements, then the earth, water, fire, and sense objects and senses, and the spirit soul in this way, 16, and from 16 it expands to 24. That is the explanation of our Vedic creation, Shorasapala.
So much creation, so much use, Krishna, Shankarshan, expansion of Krishna's Balaram, then from Balaram Shankarshan, from Shankarshan Karnadakshaya Vishnu, from Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Govardakshaya Vishnu, and then Kiradakshaya Vishnu, and then so many elements. Why is this all done? So much complicated work make this whole universe. Let's hear, read 42 and then we'll hear why. Karnadakshaya Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal space, eternal time, space, cause and effect, mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Govardakshaya Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. So we've heard in the last classes, we've heard about how this creation took place. Now, what is the purpose of it? Why is this all done? Srila Prabhupada's purport. That the material creation is not permanent has been discussed many times here and before. The material creation is but a temporary exhibition of the material energy of the Almighty God. This material manifestation is necessary to give a chance to the conditioned souls who are unwilling to associate with the Lord in the relationship of loving transcendental service. Such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence because at heart they are not willing to serve. Instead, they want to enjoy themselves. They want to enjoy themselves as imitation gods. The living entities are constitutionally eternal servitors of the Lord, but some of them, because of misusing their independence, do not wish to serve. Therefore, they are allowed to enjoy the material nature, which is called Maya, or illusion. It is called illusion because the living beings under the clutches of Maya are not factually enjoyers, although they think they are, being illusioned by Maya. Such illusion living entities are given a chance at intervals to rectify their perverted mentality of becoming false masters of the material nature and their imparted lessons from the Vedas about their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Vedestra savara hameva vidya. So the temporary creation of the material manifestation is an exhibition of the material energy of the Lord, and to manage the whole show, the Supreme Lord incarnates himself as Karanadakshay Vishnu, just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily. So all this is done to give us the facility to change our mind from thinking that we're the enjoyers, which we can never be, to becoming constitutionally situated as servants of the Lord. So towards this end of awakening our serving relationship with Krishna, our eternal relationship with Krishna, this whole world is created, and so many posts are set up, and so many powers are delegated in this world so that people, living entities, can fulfill their material desires. So then Brahma says, and we're very close to the end now, Brahma says that there are so many living beings. I myself, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, great generators of living beings like Daksha, Indra, Chandra, the leaders of the Yakshas, the Rakshas, the great atheists, the demons, dead bodies, evil spirits, great birds, great beasts. In other words, anything and everything which is exceptionally possessing opulence, power, mental and perceptual dexterity, strength, forgiveness, whatever we see in this world that has any potency, anything wonderful, any beauty, forgiveness, modesty, opulence, and breeding, whether in form or formless, it may appear to be the specific truth. It may appear to be the form of the Lord, but actually, they are not so. They are only a fragment of the transcendental potency of the Lord. So in other words, there is no powerful or opulent being who is independent from Krishna, including Lord Brahma. So because he is the independent Lord, only Krishna is, he is the only one who is worshipful, and that is what Lord Brahma is telling Narada Muni. And he's a person. Prabhupada spent so much energy and time smashing this impersonal conception that everything in this world is personal. There's nothing. We don't see anything that didn't come from a person. So why do we conclude that the Supreme, the ultimate source, is impersonal? My father was a person. His father was a person. His father was a person. His father's 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 a person. And his father's 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 father was a person. And suddenly at some point, there's an imperson? The imperson gives birth to a person? Oh, that's right, because the imperson is God, and then God forgets that he's God, and then he becomes a person. No. So Prabhupada spends so much time defeating this. Why? Because if we have this disease of impersonalism in our heart, and it's so much rampant, in the world today. In all, practically all the religions ultimately believe this, that God is formless and impersonal. So if one has this in one's consciousness, how can one develop love? How can one develop devotion? And therefore, how can one actually make spiritual advancement? So after describing this in the final verse, Srila Swami comments that this next verse introduces the up-and-coming descriptions of the Lord's incarnations as they descend into the material world. So that verse is, O Narada, Brahma says, now I shall state one after another the transcendental incarnations of the Lord, known as the Lila Avatars, or the pastime incarnations. Hearing of these activities are pleasing. Hearing of their activities counteracts all the foul matter accumulated in the ear. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, Brahma says, they are in my heart. Prabhupada says there are 1,001 rash literatures on the market. But one who has taken interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam loses all interest in such filthy literatures. Sri Brahmaji is thus attempting to narrate the principal incarnations of the Lord so that they may be drunk by Narada as transcendental nectar. Thank you very much. So tomorrow we'll enter into the seventh.